We continue our learning with the Mishmas David ben Menachem Moshe Chaim Yaakov b'Pirkos Eliyahu. We're in Erech in Perek Tes Mishnah Gim. We begin our discussion of Batei Orechoma. The Torah in Parshas Bahar says the following: The Ishki Macher Beis Moshav Irchoma. Here's a person who's selling a house. But the house is found in a walled city, and we determine a walled city based on the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So before the Purim, halachos about Megillah, we have the halachos of Batei Orechoma. So a person sells a house in an Irchoma in a walled city. The halachos are very different than selling a classic steachuza, or selling a house in a city that's not a walled city. And it says here that there's that he has the ability to be goel, to redeem it, to buy it back from the purchaser, atom shnas mimkaro, yomim tiaguloso, a year. Which means he doesn't have to wait 2 years, as we spoke about before. He can redeem it right away. But he only has the first year to do so. Vimoi goel ad molos lo shana tamima. If he doesn't redeem it within the first year, v'kam habayis asher bo'ir asher lo choma, this house in this city that has a wall around it, latzmisus, it is going to be belong to Lakoneo Solodorosov. The person who purchased it now can keep it forever. Lo Yetse Bayovel. It does not go out in Yovel. So here, it is property now permanently. Doesn't go back in Yovel. So we see that houses in walled cities are different than a classic Steachuza. In two areas. That Yovel has no effect on them, and you can only redeem them for 1 year. The Steachuza, we know, goes back in Yovel, and it can be redeemed the whole time till Yovel, but it also cannot be redeemed for the first 2 years, as we mentioned earlier in the parak. So here the Mishnah says the following: Hamocher bayis bevatei orechomer. Here someone sells a house in a city that had a wall around it from the days of Yeshua ben Nun in Eretz Yisrael. Harezeh goel miyad. He has the ability to redeem it immediately, to buy it back. The goel shneimasar chodesh. Kol shneimasar chodesh. He has all 12 months of that first year to redeem it, to purchase this house back from the buyer. And then the Mishnah says, "Hareze kemin ribis ve'enam ribis." This is a little bit like ribis, like it takes interest, but it's not really. So what does that really mean? It's a little bit like interest, but really not. So if you think about what's happening here, take Reuven has a house in a walled city. He sells it to Shimon. And after a couple of months, Reuven realizes, I want to buy it back. So he pays Shimon the money back. And now Reuven is able to live in the house once again. So this looks a little bit like ribis. How so? Because when Reuven sold this house in the walled city to Shimon, so Shimon pays Reuven. Reuven now has money. And we can view this money, and he held on to the money for how long? For 2 months, let's say, till he bought the house back. So we could view the money almost like a loan. And when he now purchases the house back and gives the money back now to Shimon, because he bought his house back, we can view the fact that he let Shimon live in the house for the last 2 months as ribis, meaning for the money, Shimon, that you lent me, which was Shimon's purchasing the house, really, the money that you lent me, I gave you the right to live in the house for a couple of months. That may look like a ribis. But the Mishnah here says, but it's not really ribis, because ribis only applies where there's a halva, a loan, and this is a sale, and therefore it's not a problem of ribis. Although the Gemara has an opinion that says, in fact, this is also a problem of ribis, but apparently the Torah permits it. So therefore, we don't have to be concerned about ribis, since in this case, the Torah allows such a thing. Then the Mishnah says, Meis hamocher yigol bano. If the seller dies, Reuven the seller dies, his son within the first year is able to redeem it. Meis halokeach, and if the buyer, Shimon, dies, yigol miyad bano. Then Reuven has the right to redeem it within the first year from Shimon's son. Then the Mishnah says, "Eino mone lo shana elo mishasha machalo." How do we determine that year, yamim tiagula? So from the moment that it was sold. Shneamar ad malos lo shana tamima. It says a complete year. The emphasis here is on the word lo, ad malos lo shana tamima. Lo means the one who had the house to begin with. So it means, let's say, Shimon, who bought the house, sold it to Levi. And now, after a few months, Reuven wants to buy his house back, so he's going to buy it back from Levi. So we determine the year not from when Shimon sold it to Levi, it's from when Reuven sold it to Shimon. It's 12 months from that point. Ukshu, Omer, Timima, the Mishnah continues. The Torah says, Shara Timima, a full year. Why do you have to say Timima? Lahavi Chodesh Ha'ibur. That comes to include an extra month. Let's say it's an extra Adar. The year was a leap year. So the halacha now is that it's not only 12 months that he can redeem it. He can redeem it after 30 months. He has 30 months to redeem it because this year is the Shana Tamima, has an extra month. Rebbe Omer, Yiten Lo Shana V'Ibura. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi has a different opinion. He says, whether it's a regular year or it's a leap year, we give you a year. That's all. We give you 12 months. And not the 30 month, not the full Adar, the extra Adar, not the extra Adar. But there is an additional few days that even Rebbe allows. He says, we give you another 11 days, besides the 354 days of the lunar year, the lunar cycle, we give you another 11 days, which is a Shana Timima, in the sense that we're going to add on the 11 days to make it 365 days based on the solar year. So Reuven Hanasi argues on the Tanakhama and says, when it says Timima, Timima's not there to tell you, oh, is it a full year, meaning we'll give you the extra month if it's a leap year. No, we don't give you the extra month. But we always give you 11 extra days to follow the solar year. Perek Tes Mishnah Dalet. Higia Yom Shnei Masar Chodesh V'lo Nigal. So the last day of the 12 months come, he had a whole year to redeem it, the seller. But he didn't redeem it. V'lo Nigal. Haya Chalut Lo. It now becomes the permanent house of the Lokeach, of the buyer. As we said, Latz Misus. It remains his forever. That's the special halacha of Batei Arei Choma. Echad halokeach, the echad shenitan lo b'matana. And this applies not only to someone who purchased it, but if he got it as a gift as well. Reuven gave it to Shimon as a gift. He has the right to redeem it within the first year. If he did not, it remains the mekabel matana, remains Shimon's as well. If after the 12 months, after the year, Reuven does not redeem it, shenemar latz misus, it says, v'kam hamay habayis Asher ba'ir asher lo choma latz misus lekone oso ledorosov. Where do we learn from here that this includes someone who received it as a gift, not only someone who purchased it? Because the pastor could have said latz mis, not latz misus. We have this actually in comes like the word kares. Sometimes we learn something from the fact that the Torah could have written kares, but it wrote krisus, full with double word, or extra word, or in plural, let's say. Same thing here. Torah wrote latz misus, so that comes to include a gift as well, not only where it's sold. Barishona Yom Shnei Masar Chodesh Hayon Nitman Yom Shnei Masar Chodesh. Originally, what would happen was in such a case where a house was sold in a walled city. So if the seller did not redeem it within the last day towards the end of the last year, so the lokach, the buyer, would hide. Why would it hide? Well, it's the last day. I know that obviously, you know, this guy probably waited to the last minute and he wants to redeem it. I really don't want him to redeem it, because if he doesn't redeem it, he's gonna buy it back, then it's mine forever. So the lokach would go hide. So the mocher wouldn't be able to find him, wouldn't be able to redeem the house, and then it would remain then in the hands of the lokeach. So he'd go hide. Why? Sheichalotlo. So it'll be his forever. Hiskin Hillel Hazaken made a takana, Sheyehei Cholesh Esmaosav Balishka. That the seller has the right to place his money in a special lishka in the Beis HaMikdash. Different opinions where that was, whether that's the lishka Sagaz with the Sanhedrin sat, maybe there's another special chamber, and he's not going to give the money directly to the buyer, because the buyer's hiding somewhere. But it's okay. This takana was made by Hillel Hazaken in order to ensure that he, the seller, has the right to redeem it on that last day. And he shouldn't lose out because his friend, the buyer, is hiding. And after placing that money in the lishka, he, the seller, has the right now to literally to break down the door of the house, v'nichnas, and enter to take it back. And when the lokach, the buyer, when he finally comes out of hiding, he wants to get his money, he can go to the lishka in the Beis HaMikdash and get his money. But either way, he's not getting his house. This is a special halacha that Takana Hillel made, which is a big chiddush. What gives him the right to do so? The buyer didn't receive any money, so how the house wasn't really was not really redeemed. Even if you hold midaraisa that mos arkanos, that money is that you can purchase with money, nonetheless, or house actually, we assume Mos Arkonos rather with a house, but he didn't get the money in his hand. Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, that's okay. Beis Din has the right to declare something ownerless. This private property now is ownerless, and therefore anyone can come and take it, and that is they have that authority. We also assume the person can't buy anything that, again, if it's against someone's will. So here, Nesina Baal Karcho, giving something against someone's will, Loshma Nesina. This buyer doesn't want to take this money. Nonetheless, in this case, where Hillel says, too bad, you're going to take this money. The money is going to be placed in the Lishka. I know you don't want it. I know you don't want to sell this back, but too bad. And Hillel made this takana for the, obviously for the benefit of the, for the benefit of the seller. One interesting halacha that we learn from here actually relates to tefillah somewhat. Think about this Mishnah. By reading the Mishnah, it sounds like if it weren't for Hillel's takana, then even though the original owner had a whole year to redeem it, he had a whole year, and he waited till the last minute. So what are we saying? We're saying had it not been for Hillel's takana, so what would the halacha have been? It sounds like that if the seller now wants to come last minute and the buyer is hiding, so the buyer would, without Hillel's takana, the buyer hid and the day is over and the sun sets and the seller didn't find the buyer, he couldn't redeem it, so then it would stay in the hands of the buyer forever. But why wouldn't we consider this a case of onus? So circumstances beyond his control, an unavoidable accident. After all, if he came to try to redeem it, why should he lose out on that opportunity? It sounds like that that we don't take into consideration the fact that he's onus. And that must be because onus biyom acharon lashma onus. Must be that the Mishnah understood that claiming that it was an unavoidable accident, it was beyond my control when you had a whole year to redeem it. The fact that you waited till the last minute, too bad. Now, that the fact that he's hiding on that last day, you can't come and claim and complain and cry that, oh, it's not fair, I'm an onus, I came to redeem it. Well, maybe you came too late, you had a whole year. So is this considered onus? It sounds like had it not been for Hillel's takana, this would not be considered onus. He would not have a claim of onus, and he would lose out on the house. The question is that really true lahalacha? So it comes to tefillah, let's say, for example, we don't assume that. We assume ones biyom acharon is shema ones. So you have someone, for example, is delaying his davening for a long time. He could daven mincha as early as 1:30, as 1:45. And then it's a summer day, and it's now at 8:20. The last 10 minutes, something happened, whatever it is, he fell asleep, or whatever it is, something prevented him from davening. So you'd say he could do tashlumin. He can make up now with the next tefillah, marv davening. Two marishmon esrays, you're going to call him an ones. So the halacha is that yes, an ones biom acharon, or at the last minute, is considered an ones, and he has the right to do. He has the right to make up the tefillah. Question is, can we really compare the two cases? Some claim that the case over here is different. The reason why this is considered an ones biom acharon, and the case of davening would not be, as the following. Here, what do we expect the person to do? We expect him to redeem his field, to pay the money to redeem his field. He had all year to do so. The last day, the buyer was hiding, and he couldn't do so. So to say that, onus be machron, he should be an onus, what could I do? To now give him to consider him that he has the status of someone who has redeemed the field, but the bottom line, he did not. He failed to redeem the field. So just because you're it's an onus doesn't mean that we can say, oh, he actually did what he should have done. He did not do what he should have done. When it comes to davening, so a person didn't have a chance to daven. Okay, so we say it's an onus. Even the last minute, I didn't get a chance to daven, something happened. Here, what we're expecting him to do is actually do an action. We expect him to redeem. And if he did not redeem, so then it's too late. The fact that he didn't do so, can't assume that that's considered, that we can't call that an onus. by davening, okay, he shouldn't be penalized that he can't do tashlumin because, you know, he waited to do something. But here, if he didn't redeem, you can't consider his, you can't consider the fact that he waited till the last minute as if he actually redeemed and paid the money, because he did not. So that would be the difference between the two, and others argue and claim that, no, the cases are in fact comparable, and if it's true that we allow ones biyom achron to be considered an ones, so then potentially we should allow it here, and we can ask the question as to why the only reason why this is acceptable is because of Hillel's takana. Had not been for Hillel's takana, it would have been too late. So that's an interesting question.